Sir Henry Curtis here, welcoming you to another No Plan, No Script, No Bullshoney podcast. Swallow the red pill, put on the sunglasses, and prepare to see this particular physical world as it truly is, instead of the false view those running this world are projecting into your eyes and brain. Today's podcast is about Dr. Royal Rife. Dr. Rife invented a machine which he called, naturally, the Rife machine. He claimed to be able to cure all disease, and that was the end of him. Yes, he died penniless and disgraced in 1971. Various instances of his machine exist in various incarnations, and most of them are BS. There are a couple, however, that work. I've actually witnessed one help cure cancer in a couple of cases. My issue with Rife machine is that it's never been taken seriously. Why? Because it threatens the pharmaceutical industry. You can't threaten the pharmaceutical industry. They have far too much money. And they will kill you or do whatever they can to you. Usually they just disgrace you. Anybody who's ever been able to cure cancer ends up having to move to the middle of Europe someplace or Switzerland or something like that after being stripped of their medical license, and the IRS goes after them and takes all their money, or whichever revenue agency is in charge of stealing the money from productive people in whatever country in which they live. So before we get into the Rife machine, we have to go back a little bit to a guy named Nikola Tesla, a Serbian born in Croatia, who, how that works, I'm not really sure, but I really can't get involved in that whole Balkan thing. It doesn't make any sense to me at all, never having lived there or grown up there or anything. I've tried to learn it. It just doesn't make any sense. Anyways, Nikola Tesla came to America, was a genius. Worked for Thomas Edison for a while until his genius threatened the crap right out of Edison. And Edison did all kinds of things, fired him. And then when Tesla got backing, Tesla's laboratory mysteriously burned down. No one could pin it on Edison, although I'll bet they didn't try very hard. Anyways, Tesla's responsible for all kinds of inventions we use to this day. And yet, he's not really that well known. I went to college for electronic engineering and I never heard the name Tesla once. And he's the one who invented, among other things, fluorescent lighting that we still use. That's a Tesla invention. Alternating current, while not invented by Tesla, was developed for use in our homes. Will you plug your wall into alternating current? Thomas Edison, by the way, was promoting direct current, DC, which is what's in your computers and your batteries. It, however, isn't possible to transmit or send direct current over long distances, whereas alternating current works great over long distances, as anybody who has ever seen a transmission line can tell you. Another thing about Tesla is that he was building a tower in a facility in upstate New York, not sure where, could find out, you could look it up, where he'd be able to beam energy at people for free. And when his backer, J.P. Morgan, the bankster, found out what Tesla had planned for this device, he pulled the funding and it sat unused for years. Recently, the guy, the genius who writes the comics, The Onion, the online comic, The Onion, which is really funny, he organized a bunch of people to buy that facility and restore it. And I really hope they managed to do that. One of the other things Tesla worked on was radio. He invented radio. Yes, Marconi got the credit for it. Tesla invented it. Marconi made it work. So Marconi got the credit for that. Tesla didn't seem to mind. Tesla also invented wireless. So your cell phone and all your wireless technology, that's Nikola Tesla, but you'll never hear about him. An interesting thing about Tesla was that he realized long before other folks that all matter is really energy moving so fast that it appears solid. And he came up with this idea of scalar waves. shortly after which he died under mysterious circumstances and the American government stole all of his work and his writings. Scalar waves are, at least the waves explained to me, scalar waves are waves that are sent at an object. So let's say, for example, we have an intercontinental ballistic missile, and that missile is made of a titanium, and we know the frequency at which that titanium vibrates. If we send an equal and opposite frequency at that titanium missile, it will cancel out the titanium. You can see this in action in what's called noise-canceling headsets. And you put on one of these headsets, they're battery-operated, and they detect noise and send an equal and opposite frequency to lessen that noise. Now, Dr. Royal Rife also stumbled upon this, or somehow arrived at it, and invented a machine and calculated the frequencies of various bacteria and various illnesses, including cancer. I know, if I say cancer, now I'm inviting the IRS. If good thing I don't live there. That's a subject for another podcast. I'm inviting all kinds of headache on myself for even mentioning the word cancer and that something other than chemotherapy can cure it. As I said, though, I've witnessed the Rife machine cure cancer. I've witnessed diet cure cancer. I've witnessed a few things cure cancer other than chemotherapy or radiation or surgery. However, let's get back to Royal Rife's machine. He did basically the same thing. His machine has a tube with a light in it, and it sends out frequencies that destroy viruses by sending the equal and opposite frequency of a particular virus. It kills it. Unfortunately, Rife made the claim about cancer, and the evil bun of a sitch who was in charge of the American Medical Association at the time, who was in the pocket of, if not actually giving rim jobs to, members of the pharmaceutical industry. Can't remember the dude's name, but if you get the movie on Royal Rife, you'll see him, and you can look at him, his picture. He just looks like an evil bun of a sitch. Anyways, they discredited Rife, did everything they could to ruin him, and so that he would die penniless and in obscurity. Very, very sad. Today, all kinds of charlatans are selling what they call Rife machines. Very, very few people have ever seen a real Rife machine. A lot of these so-called Rife machines have pads on them when they're really just, and you're supposed to tie the pad to your body. That's not a real Rife machine. Rife machine has a glass tube with a blue light that comes on at the frequency when the frequency is sufficiently intense. The fake ones are used by people who want to scam others. It's possible to get a real Rife machine. I've seen one. I know of where I can get one. However, if I tell you, then I'm telling everybody, including the evil powers that be, and they will come down on the person who's managed to make these things, and I do not want that. If you want one, you're going to have to look. Just don't get one with pads on it. And also, you can go read what you want about those criminals who run Quack Watch and Device Watch, but anything that gets mentioned on there, it's practically a badge of honor to the honest health community to be mentioned on Quack Watch or Device Watch. Now, everybody says, oh, don't be stupid, Sir Henry. It's crazy. The person who's in charge of curing cancer in your vicinity would love to not be making $300,000 a year as head of the Cancer Society for whatever. To which I say bullshoney. There's far too much money in cancer. There's far too much money in chemotherapy. There's far too much money in that whole charlatan industry. If you want to cure cancer, hey, I've got the recipe. It was given to a lady. She was a nurse in Northern Ontario, Canada, or really, in fact, her name was Renee Case, C-A-I-S-S-E. In 1922, an Ojibwe medicine woman gave Nurse Renee Case a recipe for the cure for cancer. It includes sheep sorrel and a few other herbs. It's not hard to find if you go online and look. Not a big deal. Anyways, Nurse Case was curing people who had been deemed terminal. In 1937, according to Dr. Gary Glum, this mixture, which Renee Case called Essiac, which is her name spelled backwards, came within 3 votes in the Canadian Parliament of being legalized as a remedy for terminal cancer patients. I met a guy, this is years ago, I met a guy who had listened to me talk about Essiac, and he told a story about his mother driving his grandfather up to Renee Case's house to get this treatment. And then in the winter, he was unable to get it because the roads were, well, we didn't have the plowing that we have nowadays for snow. And, you know, people used to put candles on their dashboards and it would crack the glass and things because it was so cold on the outside, and heated candle on the inside and things like that. Things didn't move the way they move now with all the snow removal equipment. So this guy's grandfather died from the cancer, eventually killed him, unfortunately. However, she did cure a lot of people. According to Dr. Gary Glum in his book, when Renee Case died in the 1980s, the Orwellian named Health Canada went and burned all of her records in 55-gallon drums in her backyard, which does not surprise me at all. Health Canada is, or I call them Orwellian named, because they do the opposite of anything for health. That's a whole nother subject. Now, if you've been cured by chemotherapy of your cancer, I'm sad to inform you that you're going to die within 5 years of that. Why? Because all the chemo does is bury it. It buries the emotional issues which caused the cancer in the first place, and it buries all kinds of things, and it kills good and bad cells. Once the chemo has left your body, which generally takes about 5 years, then you're screwed. It's going to come back even worse. Just take a look. How many people who you do chemo live after 5 years? I can think of one, Lance Armstrong. That was it. How many others? Not many. And Lance is a superhuman being who's, as unfortunately, I was really sad to find out that he cheated. I defended that guy to the end because I just thought he'd figured out how to be a superhuman. We have the potential. He certainly seemed like it. In the end, he was just another cheater. Very sad. Anyways, his cancer hasn't come back, and he had like a 2% survival possibility or something. He is a definitely strong individual. Unfortunately, he cheated. Or so he said. I don't know. He said he admitted it, but I have an issue with that. Even that. I wonder if he just wasn't forced to admit that. I wonder sometimes, because I don't believe anything that we see in the mainstream media. A subject for another podcast. So, if you've had cancer or you know somebody who's had cancer, you can try and find a Rife machine. You can clean up your diet. I knew a guy who did it just from diet. His name was John. I probably shouldn't say his last name. I used to have lunch with him in a health food store in the late 1980s. I met this, he was an old Englishman. He used to sit at the health food store with his watch, eating his veggie meal from the health food store. And since I was a single guy then and didn't cook and didn't really want to cook or know how to cook, I used to go over there every day to grab healthy food for lunch. Got to know him, listened to his story one day. He'd been diagnosed with, is it testicular cancer, I think? Whichever. It's the one, was it pancreatic? The one that nobody ever gets out of. Anyways, one of those. And it got into his bones. And the oncology clinic at McMaster University had told him to get his affairs in order. And he said, well, I'll be here next week. And they said, no, we're not going to guarantee you that. His daughter found a natural health practitioner who put him on what appears to me to be a macrobiotic diet. So this meat and potatoes Englishman switched overnight to a veg and macrobiotic diet. She also gave him all kinds of supplements, which is how I met him. He was timing his supplements, you know, eating a few bites of this or that, looking at his watch and taking certain supplements. He was religious about it, actually, about his health. He lived for 5 or 6 years after his cancer was cured. Oh, yeah, that was another thing. He went back to the oncology clinic at Mac, and the first thing the doctor asked was, "Are you seeing another doctor?" And he said, "Oh, no, not another doctor." And they said, "Well, you're cured, so you can get the hell out of here." They were really peeved that he no longer had cancer. They weren't going to be able to bill the government for all the expensive treatments and everything else. And he tried to tell them. He said, "Well, I did stop eating meat." And they said, "So what? Eating meat has nothing to do with cancer," which is total bullshoney. I mean, I'm not saying if you eat meat, you're going to get cancer. However, if you eat steroid-laden meat, chances are you're going to get something. And if you eat light macrobiotic fare, then if that's what your body wants, then it's going to be healthy. The interesting thing is, there was no cancer in his bones. There's no cancer in his, prostate. That's what he had. It was prostate cancer, yes. There's no cancer in his prostate. There was no cancer in his bones. He was completely cured strictly from dietary changes and adding supplements. That's it. That's all it took. Do you know what he died of? He slipped and fell and broke his leg in British California on the west coast of Canada. And died of pneumonia in hospital because people weren't rolling him around fast enough to drain his lungs, or at least let the fluid in his lungs, whatever. Very sad. Wonderful man. So, I think we've reached the end of this podcast. This is Sir Henry Curtis. Have a great day. Thanks for listening to the No Plan, No Script, No Bullshoney podcast. This is Sir Henry Curtis signing off until our next time together. May your Schwartz go with you.